This is Bishop Gilbert Sheldon, retired Bishop of Steubenville, offering some thoughts on the American system of government. In July, we celebrate Independence Day, the principal civic holiday of our calendar. It's a day that the American colonies declared themselves free and independent from British rule. As of then, we were no longer colonies of Great Britain, but a supreme and independent nation, the United States of America. Of course, simply saying so is not enough to bring it about. The British Crown did not take kindly to her colonies declaring themselves independent, so we had to fight to make it stick. The Declaration of Independence, as we know, was drafted by Thomas Jefferson and presented to the then-existing Continental Congress, which approved it on July 4th, 1776. The basic thrust of the Declaration is summed up in its preamble, in words that we all know, but words that are forever worth repeating. Paraphrasing a bit, the document reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is to preserve these rights and to further them that governments are established by men, that derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, and whenever, if and when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish that government, and to initiate new government, laying its foundation on such principles and in such form as most likely to affect their safety and happiness." The Declaration goes on to spell out the facts and conditions that made the Declaration applicable to the 13 North American colonies. The principles cited in the Declaration did not originate with Thomas Jefferson. They were held by various philosophers and thinkers of the previous century, notably a man named John Locke. Locke himself, like Jefferson, was a deist. A deist believes in God, at least in a creator, but holds that that creator finished his work and no longer had any involvement in it. Among other things, deists do not believe in such a thing as divine revelation, much less in the coming of God on earth as man. Once created, man was left to make his way on his own. However, Locke and Jefferson did believe in natural law, the idea that the most basic truths and moral principles can be known by the use of intelligence and reason. That's what makes man superior to the rest of creation. This is evident in the Declaration of Independence. Note that it speaks of truths that are self-evident, that mankind is endowed by his Creator with rights that cannot be taken away from him by any government on earth, and that man has right to resist and reject any government that would deny those human rights. It also says that all men are created equal. That's interesting because Jefferson was himself a slave owner. What he meant probably was that all men, human beings that is, are created by nature, regardless of the circumstances in which they are born, equal. However, like others of his time, he made no attempt to define human nature or which individuals are to be counted as fully human. Some philosophers before and since have sought to establish human society on principles other than natural law. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a Frenchman of the 18th century, held that government itself is the cause of man's problems. He believed that if in a state of nature, without government, people would grow up with few problems. Well, we had a taste of that with the flower children of the late 60s. We certainly don't want that on a large scale. Others believe we need more government, not less. They believe in controlling behavior from above. They say that government should regulate our entire life, down to the last detail, and everything then would be fine. Karl Marx preached a form of this with his communist ideology. He thought that all our problems are reducible to the economy. So he preached a system of total control of the economy by the state. He believed that once man got used to it, government would no longer be necessary and everyone would be happy and behave. History shows, of course, that it didn't work in Russia, nor has it worked anywhere else that it's been tried. What's the answer, then, we might ask? Our founding fathers actually had the solution. Like Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison, and the others held that our form of government, representative democracy, would work best and possibly work only if all men were virtuous, meaning that they recognize the natural moral law. Sacred Scripture tells us that the moral law is written on the tablets of our hearts, but people cannot be counted to follow it. If they did, we'd have no need of police forces. Yet our prison population keeps growing constantly, and that's because all too many people cannot or will not live according to their consciences, meaning according to the moral law that's written in their hearts. Nor can we count on many politicians and business people to do so either. Some cynics have said that our American form of government is the worst of all forms of government, except for all the rest that mankind has ever tried. And there's some truth to that. If people lived up to their conscience, the moral, natural law, assuming that that conscience is properly developed, our form of government would then be the best in the world, as we've always claimed. But then if everyone did live virtuously, any form of government would work fine. But as we know, they don't. And why is that? The church has the answer. It always had the answer. But it's never been a popular answer. We call it original sin. When sin entered the world, our intelligence and will were affected for the worse. Before sin, we were in a state of grace. Man's intellect was firing on all cylinders, and his will, like a compass, always pointed to the good and true. But sin changed all that. The remedy is likewise known, but people don't like the taste of the medicine. Individual reform. That must come from within, from each one of us. A massive change of heart is what's needed. People must try the Ten Commandments on for size, and then the Sermon on the Mount. As G.K. Chesterton once said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's that Christianity has been found hard and not tried. it's time that the world did give it a try. God bless you.